C1S, number 25B.
See, that word seems to me very indicative of what we are seeing too, that the way is going forward, not backward. They could have said, well, we have diverged from the unity which originally man had with his nature and with his being. They say, no, we must go forward because the way is through science, but past science. With science, naturally they mean physical science. Naturally they mean that science which is based on human thinking and human rationality. They don't mean science with a capital S. The moment we take their language, see, and see what they are feeling is that it must go through science and past science and what they say into being, then naturally they indicate what we have as divine science with a capital S, because that term combines science in the highest sense with deity, with God, with being. It's the science of being, capital B. So, let's go forward and not backward, you see. The trend, as I showed before, in the church healing, in the various churches, is a trend backward, really. They may not. They will come to a point where they will go forward too, because they will come to a point where they see they have no foundation, that they need foundation. And then they will go forward. Everything will eventually go forward, even if it goes around a few corners. But we must see, you see, that we are not tempted by that feeling. Let's go back only to the spirit of the thing, because the ancient healer, through a spiritual sense, could do the works. Let's have that too. Let's go forward and find something much bigger than what they had. In this tone, she also shows that in that struggle for victory, where the spirit, really, of the immortal mind subdues mortal minds, that in that struggle for victory, that in there, really, the scientific healing has the advantage over other methods because it heals ethically. See, that's the advantage. We see outwardly and are fooled very much by it, that medical science has its success, its great success. For instance, I said the great success that they are very proud of, some of them, is how to deal with infectional diseases. That now, with one or two injections with antibiotics, see, they can get rid of that within a few days. Is that a success? I remember it was at the end of the 30s, just before the war, when the pharmaceutical industry discovered that these first antibiotics, and the success was that, for instance, they could heal syphilis within a few days. Well, syphilis was a disease which was very much feared, which was very painful and usually incurable. Now they can inject it away, so to say. With a few injections, they can inject it away. Now what have we gained? We have gained nothing at all, except something very bad, that now there is no more even a fear of getting syphilis. So the moral resistance of the man is weakened, not strengthened. So what this treatment accomplishes is to lower the standard of manhood, the inward resistance and integrity of manhood. It attacks it. Instead of helping mankind, it just helps the body to get over a disease, but is weakening its moral attitude. So this is not helping mankind. So the medical science really has no ethical healing in view. It doesn't want to, it just wants to heal the body. Whereas Christian science, which relies on the spirit of science, can only heal if it heals ethically too. And that only ethical healing, spiritual healing with a spiritual success, is a real healing. Therefore, faith healing doesn't really mean very much, because it is like faith healing with a drug. It just heals the organ. But man must be healed. Man must be healed. And that cannot be achieved with material methods. So really only the spirit of immortal mind wins the victory. No matter if any drug can in 1 hour throw away or heal any disease. That's no healing. That's just a phenomena. That's just a phenomena. Just as you can put your foot on your gas pedal and the car runs. That's a phenomena. It starts very quickly and runs. It has no more sense in it than that. So if we want to see that the world consciousness is healed, and that's the only healing that is really worth healing, then we must rely on something very different than medical science. So let me summarize quickly what I said in this tone of spirit, just to see the flow of it, you see. The second tone of spirit just wants to show that spirit is the only healing means, so to say. That truth, I said, truth controls error only through spiritual means. Well, what does it mean that it only heals through spiritual means? It means that spiritual means is mind, capital M, and not a lower power, not even arguments. That it is just mind, because there is nothing besides the divine mind. And that any other healing on any other basis, whatever its effect is detrimental. It's not good. It doesn't strengthen men, it weakens men. And that third, that this view that the mind alone is the healer will subdue all other beliefs of mortal mind that says, I can heal too. I said, as I was going through that paragraph on the question if the ancient inspired healers... No. I stop here for a moment, or I have to break in between. We just stop here for a little moment, because afterwards we only have about half an hour to go on. In this tone of spirit, she touches on that paragraph which we were reading together about the spirit of the science and the letter of science, and that these ancient inspired healers may not have understood Christian science, but that they had the spirit of it, and that enabled them to heal. And if they would have had only the letter, they would not have been able to heal. That's the situation of the ancient healers. Now, I said we have to be careful not to go backward, but to go forward. And so this question of letter and spirit is always coming up, And it's right that it's coming up because it needs rethinking and re-exploring. And I think in a few years we will rethink about it and re-explore it again. That's the beauty of the spiritual adventure, that it will always be new and that we will always see something higher. But as far as I can see it now, it may be right, because this question comes up time and time, perhaps to indicate a few steps which Mrs. Eddy is pointing out in this direction. Besides this quotation, we had in this same chapter before already, where she had said that she knew that that in primitive Christian healing was being done by holy, uplifting faith. But, and then comes the but. It is as if she would say, now we must go forward. We can't be satisfied with that. So she indicates we can't stay there just with the spirit of it, but I must know the science of this healing. Pointing the way, that the way is through science to go forward. In another quotation, she speaks about the prophets of old looked for something higher than the system of their times. See, here she indicates that even the prophets of old who did the works, they looked for something higher. They were not satisfied with what they had. So why should we go back to what they had if they were looking forward? So let's go forward. The tone is always of going forward, you see. We had the chapter on theology before. We saw that life power always asks us to go forward and to open our consciousness wider and wider and wider, so that the new ideas, the spontaneity of life, the law of spontaneity can use us. So the prophets of old looked for something higher than the system of their times. Hence their foresight for the new dispensation of truth, but they knew not what would be the precise nature of the teaching and demonstration of God, the divine mind, in his more infinite meaning. They knew it not. They would have liked to know it. They would have liked to know what Jesus knew, and certainly they would have liked to know what Mrs. Eddy knew. So they were looking forward for a new dispensation of the divine mind in its more infinite meanings, the demonstration of which was to destroy sin, sickness, and death, establish the definition of omnipotence, and maintain the science of spirit. You see, now it is the science of spirit. In the paragraph we were reading together, it was the spirit of science that held those ancient verses. And now Mrs. Eddy shows, from the spirit of science, we must go forward to find the science of spirit, the higher sense of it, instead of the flair sense of it, the understanding sense of the science of spirit. In another quotation, she says, to those natural Christian scientists, the ancient worthies. So the ancient worthies, she calls them natural Christian scientists. She always puts natural when she wants to indicate that they had the spirit without the letter, without understanding. To those natural Christian scientists, the ancient verses, and to Christ Jesus, God certainly revealed the spirit of Christian science. The spirit of Christian science. And then she leaves it open, if not the absolute letter. She's not quite sure if Jesus knew the signs of spirit. She leaves it open, she doesn't. I mean, always when she leaves a very tricky question open, more or less it meant that you meant no. But you didn't want to shock the reader by saying no, by saying he didn't know, that Jesus didn't know the signs of spirit. But in the divinity course, which she gave at the beginning of this century, she touches on that question. There she said, our blessed Master did not have the signs of it. That is, did not give the premise, the conclusion, and the logical reasoning as this is. He had the spirit of it and gave it to his disciples. So in that smaller, intimate class or circle, she was more outspoken and said, well, he did not have the science in the way that he did not give the premise, that he did not give the way to reason from the premise and to reach a logical conclusion. Naturally, we don't know how authentic these divinity course papers are, but as in the main, one can pretty well rely on them, because in a way she said the same thing but a bit more careful in the textbook, where she said our Master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of its divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing and preventing disease. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. So, no matter what our answer will be, if it will be definitely yes or definitely no, it doesn't really matter. The main thing is the trend we see, the necessary trend, that we see that which Jesus gave to his disciple was the spirit of it and not the science of it. And that the principle and the rule of the science of the spirit which Jesus had, that remained to be discovered by Christian Science. That's a step forward. Why on earth should we have Christian Science if everything is already in the Bible? After all, revelation goes forward and the whole world goes forward, and it certainly must go forward still. Can't stop somewhere. She says in retrospection, Jesus of Nazareth was a natural and divine scientist. You see, always when she calls natural, she means he had the spirit of the science. He was a natural and divine scientist. He was so before the material world saw him. He who antedated Abraham and gave the world a new date in the Christian era was a Christian scientist who needed no discovery of the signs of being. He did not need it. That was his prerogative. That in his age, in that mental state of where the world was at that time, he didn't need to know signs. Who on earth in Palestine at that time did know the word science? No one did know the word science at that time. Some of the Greeks over in Greece did a little bit know what the word science means, but not the people in Palestine. So he would have had if he had brought the science, he would have talked to dumb ears, because the people at that age and in that time were on a level which was not ready to receive a scientific explanation of the spirit of science. So he gave what was adapted to their age. That's always the great art, to be able to give that which is adapted to the age, which is adapted to the individual. That's the art of Christian Science. But she goes on and says he didn't need that in order to rebuke the evidence. The spirit needed it. But then she goes on and says, to one born of the flesh. I have a feeling that somehow I was born of the flesh too. However, divine science must be a discovery. See, he had it in a natural way. He was a natural divine scientist. The one born of the flesh, this science must be a discovery. Quite a different proposition. Why should we always have the same proposition as somebody else? Why is not has not every age its own duties, its own Aufgaben, its own his own problems, his own
responsibilities.
You know, and don't find the word in English for Aufgabe. Would you know, Joppi, Aufgabe, what Aufgabe means in English?
Huh?
Task? Yes, let's say task. Huh? The challenge which every age has and the task which every age has is new, cannot be compared with an older one. So, woman, she says, must give it birth. In this last two little sentences, she has two must in it. Divine science must be a discovery, and woman must give it birth. So, we are still considering the question of the letter and the spirit. I was up to this point just trying to show that the spirit of science must evolve to the point where we see the science of spirit. Now, where does the letter come in? The letter, as Mrs. Eddy uses it, has two different meanings, I would say. That even in the dictionary definition, letter means really two very different things. In one sense, in one meaning, it means to smear, a smattering. Whereas in the other sense, it is a higher sense, it means literature in the written statement. And when we investigate the use of the term letter in Mrs. Eddy's writings, we can see those two different uses of the term letter. That in one sense, in the lower sense, she used it in order to indicate the superficial knowledge of Christian science, the hecatombs of gushing theories, perhaps, of stereotype, borrowed speeches and doling of arguments and so on. That sense of letter, the mere human argument, the vague human sense of Christian science. It says, remember that the letter and mental argument are only human auxiliaries, only human auxiliaries. It's not the divine letter, it's not the absolute letter she speaks here. But here she speaks of this lower sense of the letter as human auxiliaries to aid in bringing thought into accord with the spirit of truth and love. So that letter is usually lacking any sense of spirit. But then she uses the term letter also in a higher sense, in a more absolute sense. She speaks of the absolute letter. And that absolute letter is inseparable from the spiritual. She combines in Miss Selene, she combines the letter with the word. You see, the highest sense of the letter with the word. God spake and it was done. When she was withdrawing in order to find in solitude the absolute scientific unity which exists between the teaching and the letter of Christianity and the spirit of Christianity. So she began to see at that time, that was around about 1889, that you must find the unity of the letter and the spirit. That the letter and the spirit are not two things. so that we can't say in the right sense, well, you only have the letter and not the spirit. If we can say that, then it's the lower sense of the letter. But the true letter is the word, and that includes the spirit, dwelling forever in the divine mind. And then she says, when she was studying the light and might of the divine concurrence of the spirit and the letter appeared. So there is a divine concurrence of the spirit and the letter. And we know that right after that, she published that mighty new edition, the 50th edition of Science and Health, in which she rearranged the text. She rearranged the lower sense of letter, if I may say so, in order that that lower sense of letter had its right place in the order unfoldment of the chapter. And so she could unite the letter, which before was the lower sense of the letter, with the order of spirit, and brought out that Science and Health, which for the first time shows each chapter in its final structure as we have it. So that the order within the chapter was given. And that's very indicative, I would say, because it is as if she would indicate that if we study the textbook in its ordered statement, in its structure, in its ordered statement, that then the studying of that letter becomes the real letter. In the measure as that studying of the textual letter, I would say so, is seen to unfold the divine spiritual order, then that letter becomes the absolute letter, we perceive it then as the absolute letter. And so it's quite interesting to see that, therefore, the absolute letter really should be one with the lower letter, with the mere letter. And that's the difficulty which we have. The difficulty which we have is, can we, when we have seen the absolute letter united with the spirit, can we then translate that into any language which anybody can understand, to the mere letter? Can we then translate it into the language of the medical man? Can we then translate it into the mere letter of the physicist, of the chemist, of the biologist? Then we translate the true letter, which includes the spirit, into the mere letter, which can be understood by any scientist. The further point which comes out of a study of Mrs. Eddy's use of the letter and the spirit is this, that the spirit without the letter can heal, but that the spirit without the letter cannot establish science. That's the big point she brings up. That she would say in various places that with the spirit of science we can heal, that then the lack of the letter does not hinder that healing, but it is not able to establish that which we really should establish, the science of spirit. And so in this way I wanted to present to you that subject of spirit and let natural one could enlarge on it further and further, but in its essence to see, I would say, that we are aware, that we are not one-sided, that we just say, well, all that is needed is the spirit, or that we say, oh, he has only the letter. That both the spirit and the letter are wedded and are rightly understood one, because the letter of mind is always spirit, because mind is spirit, can't help to be spirit mind. Well, the absolute letter of mind that which spake and it was done is spirit, You can't separate that from each other. But in addition to that, the question comes, if we have the touch of that, the spirit of the letter, then we can translate it, I hope, one time to the language, to the mere letter of every scientist, of every level of human thinking. I just feel, you see, that the time has come. I somehow feel that, funny enough, I don't believe in numbers usually, but I feel that those 100 years that have passed, that last year was a turn in the development, I would say, of the Christian Science idea. I feel, I may be wrong, that the turning point consists in this, that instead of looking inside the movement, inside the circle of Christian Science, we have turned around 180 degrees and are looking outside, which means that we begin to realize and feel it in our bones that Christian Science is more than just finding a new science to help our problem. Our problem. See, it's looking inside, self-centered. But that Christian Science is here to heal world consciousness. And it only can heal world consciousness if we are world consciously minded, if we are big-minded enough. That is, if we can touch the spirit of being, capital B, the spirit of being, so, in its absolute letter, that we are able to translate it into the mere letter, which is understandable to all scientists, to all thinking people. And then we are going out, and we are translating it out into the world. Just as I said before, Gordon Brown has tried in various of his books to show that really the world is one world, and that it must be transparent to spiritual sense as one universe, not as many universes. Yes, well, that is what I wanted to say about the spirit and the letter. And I hope I have made that clear, that we have to go forward, and that it is a joy to go forward, and that we are not going to try to hinge back on results that have been achieved 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Let's see that they were right in its place, but they can't be repeated, that the infinite never repeats itself, that the solution lies in the future. And naturally we will see more and more that the future is the now. But the direction to which we look is forward. You know what John Dory always said at the beginning, and on we go, and ever on and on. Well, can we do that in consciousness?